Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 74 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Being a Healthy Disciple. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So as we come together each Sunday, we have it in mind of God, what in the world do you have? What's going on? And it is, as starting last Sunday, we started into this new season of bringing a greater definition to, will we follow Him? What does it look like to follow Christ? What does it look like to say yes to this path? It's very hard to say, yes, I'm going to Asheville and get on Interstate 40. It's really hard to get off on the side roads and ever get there. If I want to get there quickly, the quickest way between two points is a straight line. So what we're trying to do here in this teaching is draw a straight line from here to Him, that we might get there quickly, that we might move quickly, and that we might truly grasp what we're after. It's the reason that to get sidetracked on little details of debate and argument doesn't interest me much. All of a sudden, I can feel myself going into my head. And trust me, there's a lot of space there. You can get lost. And it's just not a good place to go. So let's see if we can seek this morning what the Lord has for us as a prophetic people as we're trying to hone in on what this means to follow Him. And Lord Jesus, we do ask and pray that by the power of Your Spirit and by revelation, that we might truly know Christ and that He is the Savior of the world. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask and pray that You'd fill us with Your Spirit, with Your understanding, with revelation, that You would help us, oh God, focus our minds, help us to be single-minded this morning, that our minds might be directed upon You and upon who You are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as we move forward this morning, we are now in lesson 74, and I've got the title of Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Being a Healthy Disciple. There are such things as being healthy and unhealthy. It's a mark that we use to show us how quickly we can respond to any given situation. If you'll notice, if you work for EMS and you go or you get a call, somebody's had a heart attack, something's happened, you run to their house, you have the healthy looking after the unhealthy. Now, they're all people. But some's healthy, some are unhealthy. Same way with being a disciple of Christ. We can be healthy and we can be unhealthy. So just to get in and be a disciple of Christ maybe is not the end of the goal. Perhaps not even the goal at all. Perhaps it's the beginning of us trying to walk in a healthy attitude, healthy spirit, soul, mind, and body. So to me, the term health, does God bring healing? The answer is yes, but I don't go just physical. I go with what's eternal first, which is the spirit, and then the soul should tag along. And the body, well, we need to keep this one running, but it's kind of like a 1948 Volkswagen. We're just trying to patch it together till we get our new one. And that's coming pretty soon. But we want to be, the focus today on changing atmosphere is to be a healthy disciple of Christ. How we are heard is outside of our control. All we can work on is how we speak. I know we spend a lot of time trying to interpret how people hear us, and I guess this is written more to me, perhaps, maybe even than you, but a lot of times I'm concerned about how I'm heard and all that. And I finally said, shoot, this is just outside of my control on how I'm heard. But I can spend time on how I speak, that I speak truth, that we speak truth, that we speak from the Word of God. Now, where do our words originate? If we're going to focus on how we speak, how we speak comes out of health. If you just mashed your hand in your car door and you go into the grocery store, I venture to say your temper's going to be a little short. You're going to be speaking through a perception of pain. So we know that pain does affect perception of how we view things. Pain affects how we see prophetically. Now, am I trying to produce a no-pain-free zone? Well, it would be nice. But there is some pain that we are to be that we can deal with to lower the level of pain in our lives so that we can see things clearly. Pain, whether it be physical, soulless, or spiritual, will affect how you see things. So the reason we want to be a healthy disciple is not necessarily just to be pain-free, but it's so that we can see what we're seeing in realities from a healthier perception. If you've been through divorce or if you've been through any kind of relational trauma and crisis, there needs to be an element of, there's pain, there's emotional pain that goes with that. You just need to understand until this emotional pain is brought through a certain amount of healing, it will affect how you view relationships with others, with another person, and so on and so forth. So as we're seeing this, our pain, our words tend to originate out under the influence of different levels of pain. The reason this is my focus this morning is to show us as being a healthy disciple, we need to and have a healthy view. We need to identify the different pain structures in our lives. From our thoughts, and our thoughts originate from beliefs. Where do our words originate? So they originate from our thoughts. And our thoughts originate from our beliefs, and our beliefs through our perceptions or our filters of life. A perception, you've heard me teach this before. A perception is an observation and an interpretation based chiefly off of memory. That's what a perception is. It's an observation. You're observing something. It's an observation. And then you interpret what you observe. It's an observation and an interpretation, but it's based chiefly off of memory. So our perceptions are basically off of memory. That's the reason I say if you've got a painful memory that's not been resolved, not been brought to any level of healing, your perceptions then on that topic will be through that amount of pain. And so I wanted you to consider this morning, if you want to be healthy in body, soul, and spirit, if you're sick in your body, the first way you're going to identify it is if it hurts or not, right? So you follow the pain to find out what is hurting. Now, we're not trying to fix the pain. We're trying to fix what's causing the pain, right? So the pain itself leads us to a problem, and that problem needs to have resolve. I taught Sunday on how we have to bring into ownership, and I'm going to get into that in light of this. Now, there's a spiritual war going on inside of you. I got this picture of my favorite animal these days, which is an elephant. I'm hoping that I can bring one home one day, not to live in the house, of course. But there is a spiritual war going on, and you see that elephant, he's got hyenas after and all that. With all of us, there's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war that goes on, and it goes on inside of us. Now, if you think if they think they've got it all together, well, their warfare inside is pride, because nobody's got it all together. We're all working it. Sure, as you get one thing kind of handled, then you go to the next one. Has anybody noticed? But there's this spiritual war that's going inside of us. The serpent is lying to you continuously, stealing your very life. Now, words mean something, thoughts mean something, perceptions mean something. The enemy is trying to steal the truth. And I just went over the breath of God, the Word of God, how God preserves His words in us. Now, since we're the place of preservation of the Word of God, the enemy's trying to steal it or make it untrue. So therefore lies the battle. How you believe speaks life and death to your body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to move into the words come out of how we're thinking and out of our thoughts, but our thoughts come out of how you believe. We have as a prophetic people, to believe has to mature. Believe has to mature. And as Christians, we tend to stay in a place of being immature. So therefore, this battle, as believers, there's some things that need to come into some type of conclusion in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. But how you believe speaks life and death to your body, soul, and spirit. How you believe speaks. Most of our beliefs are shaped by life circumstances and others. Sadly, most of them are limiting our beliefs. They're again perceptions. What limits our beliefs? Now, we can believe, and most everyone in here believes, that God can do anything. Right? Do you believe that God can do? He's God. Of course you believe that. But sadly, a lot of our personal beliefs limit us. With that in mind, we can believe and not have faith. Did you know that? You can believe and not have faith. Let's do the definition. Belief means an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. That's to believe. Do you believe that Christ was here on the earth? Let me ask you this. Is it possible for people to believe that Christ was really here on the earth but not have faith in Him? Yes. So you can see, just to believe doesn't necessarily mean you have faith. Even though believing is the beginning of faith, and I'll show you the scripture here in just a moment. I'm taking this spiritual pattern apart so we can put it back together. I just want you to understand what you believe in tends to produce your thoughts, and your thoughts then produce your words. You believe in more than you have faith in. That's right. But what produces life and death? My words. But my words come out of my belief system. So I find that I can believe in more than I have faith for. So as a prophetic people, we need to take it apart and understand just to believe something does not change anything prophetically. Now let's look at the word faith. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So when we have belief and then it matures into faith, when we have belief plus faith, that means not only do we accept the statement or that it exists, we have faith and trust in it. So words that are produced out of a belief that has the perception of faith produces the kingdom of God. Now, let's move forward with that in mind. Now, believing has an element or has a power to it because your words come out of your belief systems, and your belief systems comes out of your perceptions, and your perceptions tend to come out of your memory. Now, we're going to change the word. We're going to give the word perception an updated definition. Now, the one I just gave you, which is what the world of psychiatry would use, or the dictionary, or anybody else, you about have to use a medical dictionary to get the one I gave you. But a perception is an observation and an interpretation based chiefly on memory. Now, when we insert Christ or we insert faith, it'll read like this. A perception is an interpretation, an observation, and an interpretation based chiefly on faith, not memory. Okay? A perception is an interpretation, observation, then when interpretation based chiefly on faith. Now, the reason I didn't say 100% is because your memory or what you know is to play a part in where you're headed. There's nothing wrong with memory. We were created to remember. But you want to add something to your memory called faith in God. Just like you add something to belief, which is faith, you add to your memory, faith. So faith, we see, is the creative element of spirit. It has power, right? Now let's move forward. Now here's the power of believing. It's in Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see here, belief was first, then faith cometh. So if faith cometh, is faith intellectual? No. The act of faith is spirit, because faith cometh, believeth, learneth, but faith cometh. Got it? So you add what you know, and then God sends by His Spirit a supernatural spirit of faith. A lot of people walk around in a belief system thinking it's faith. It's not faith. Because faith is the spirit of truth. That's what brings, that's the quantum, spiritual quantum physics, if you will. That's where it passes from spirit into the natural world. And that's just like I believe that you're, how you believe and what you have faith in causes biological chemistry in your body. Well, I went from spirit to the natural world, my body. Can y'all hear me on this one? How you believe and what you have faith in can change biology, the human biology of the body. I'll give you the negative side of that. Do you know that stress can cause heartburn? Well, if you don't, you had never had any, is all I can tell you. And about everybody in here has at one time or another. Of course it can. It causes stomach acids to do all kinds of crazy stuff. All right, how did the biology get there? Because of how you're thinking. So can thinking change the biology of the human body? The answer is yes. So understand that how you think and how you believe comes into the natural world and has true consequences. If you have sickness in any place in your body, do you believe that it is in a healing, that it is an aid for you to believe in healing yourself for your body? I think so. I know how I believe and what I put faith in. Listen, I have faith that God... Did you know you can cut yourself with a knife and you can sit there and watch your... in over several days' time? You maybe can't see it heal, but you can see before and after and your body heals itself. Did you know that? Now, you might even be the one that inflicted the wound. But your body will heal itself. God has so created your body to heal itself. So did you know how you think and what you believe in is like taking a knife to your body? You can make yourself sick. And now I'm teaching a prophetic class, so I'm hoping y'all can handle what I'm saying, at least test what I'm saying. If it stretches you a little bit, I've done good. But I want you to consider how you think, what you believe in, can affect your physical body. All right, if it can affect your physical body, what else can it affect? It can affect anything physical. Now, I'm going to get more into that, how you think and how you believe changes the biology in the body. Why are we going into a teaching of discipline? Being a disciple is a disciplined person. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is a disciplined person. It doesn't say that it's a person who's happy and is going to like everything Christ is fixing to lead us to do. If you were here last week, I tried to make the point, if you're going to follow Christ, it's all uphill. You're not going to like a thing he says. You're not going to want to do it. I like to get that out of the way to start with. At least that's the way I raise my children. All right, you're going to do this, and you're not going to like it. Listen, church, we have to come to terms with we're not going to like it, what we're being asked to do. But it just so happens there is something at the end of not liking it and doing it. It's called accomplishment. It's called achievement. It's called moving the kingdom forward. Decide benefit, you'll be healthier and you'll feel fulfilled. There's a difference in fulfillment and feeling giddy and good. There's a difference in going to Disney World and getting a high and being a disciple of Christ and getting a high. I've told you, following Christ is like climbing a mountain. It takes a lot of discipline, and you're not going to want to do it. But when you get to the top, the view is great. Side benefits along the way. So as Christians and as disciples and as a prophetic people, if you're in this class thinking that, okay, Alan's going to show me the easy way to live, you're in the wrong class. I'm telling you up front, you're not going to like the thing that I'm going to teach or that you got to say. But you test it. It should be the truth. And it should move you spiritually. It should move you somewhere spiritually. Today, the common understanding of life is, I want a job that I get to work 3 days a week. I get to be off 4 days a week. A lot of people today judge work by how much time off they have. People judge life by how much I get to lay on the couch and watch TV. That's wonderful goal. How many times I get to go to the beach in a year? Oh, got to go 3 times. Wow, boy, I reached a high goal this year. I'm like, if that is your goals in life, somebody's not getting it. That one's going to run out. You're not going to be happy. If you're a believer in Christ, you got a mountain to climb. We're headed somewhere. It's going to cost you everything you got. You're not going to like a bit of it, but you're going to feel totally fulfilled. And you're going to accomplish your destiny and purpose on this planet. Now, that one's hard to sell at Walmart. So when we reach in our remembering for the Word of God, we once again hear, and then faith comes upon us, which can make it real. So as we're the power of believing. Now, what I just said about we have to climb a mountain. You're going uphill to be like Christ. And I told you the truth. When you take the power of these words of Christ, And what? Why did Jesus say, deny yourself, take up my cross and follow me? To deny yourself means you're not going to like it. But he didn't say that because you're going to be less of something. He said that because you're going to be more of something. I've said this before. There's more to live unto than there is to die to. But the problem with us, we have not added yet faith to our belief system to get us there. We say, well, Alan, I'm operating out of faith. Well, the way you know you're operating out, does anybody in here ever feel like giving up? Listen, you don't know how many times I've wanted to give up milking cows. But I've yet to find somebody that can tell me, do you quit milking first or you quit feeding first? Well, I don't know what you do to give up. I don't know what do you quit first? I don't know. Okay, let's be honest. You're going to give up on God. What do you do? You quit feeding or milking? I've told you this before. I told God one day, I've had it, God, I'm not doing this anymore, and I don't believe you. I don't even think I believe in you. And his first response to me is, well, why are you talking to me? Right? I mean, we can't escape it. He's here. We're his. That's over. That's finished. That's already been settled. We're here. We're in it. There's not one thing to do, and that's put your boots up on and let's climb this mountain. It's just do it. And let's see what's going on with Christ. And Hebrews 11, we see that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So what happens is we got a belief system. We got our belief. But then we add faith to our belief. Belief is we believe it exists and we believe it's truth. Faith means I'm going to trust that it is true. So we add our faith to a situation. What is faith? I've taught you that faith is a supernatural element of the Holy Ghost. Faith is not like belief. Belief is what we produce. Faith is what cometh. I gave you the verse. Faith cometh. So you have to have this understanding that you don't work up faith. Faith cometh. So we ask God for faith to cometh upon our belief. Then as faith cometh, then you have the motivation and the power to move in what you believe. All right, let's move. A disciple believes and then trusts. If you're going to be a prophetic disciple of Christ, then we believe and then we trust. So what do? We watch, what is your level of trust? What's your elements of trust in Christ? Where are they? You can measure that. I can measure that. Jesus said it like this. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, we like to use the part, the truth will set you free. But we leave off the part, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Now, the only reason we hold to his teachings is because we have added faith to a belief system. When I say to you, if you're going to grow in Christ, it's like climbing a mountain. Trust me, it takes faith that you can get to the top. Did you know that your thinking can talk you out of achievement? Listen, I can sell myself better than anybody. I sell myself on what's true, and it's not truth, it's just selfishness. And I'm trying to justify where I am. You ever seen a dog chase his tail? You do it too. Now, getting closer to Jesus means, here's what it means, to be taught by the teacher. To get, as a disciple of Christ, you're saying, I want to be taught by the teacher. I went over this Sunday about crisis, how crisis pushes us towards Christ. It's a time of intense difficulty. Difficulties of life will force us to consider Jesus. You find yourself in a place you do not want to be. Climbing mountains in life are difficult, trouble, and are often dangerous. Then I went into fasting. Do y'all remember this? We had crisis. Then we have fasting, is to abstain from something such as food, drink, as a religious observance for a short period of time. Fasting and prayers bring surrender of the body, soul, and spirit to Christ. It also generates a heightened sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I hope you're catching on here. What Christ is asking us to set aside is our selfish behavior. The way we do this is we come against our flesh. Crisis comes against your flesh. Fasting makes your flesh listen. It is a God-ordained form of self-denial. In short, it brings personal revival. Now, discipline is the practice of training people. Now, I underlined that and I highlighted that as I move forward in the next few minutes. Discipline is the practice of training people. Say it with me. Discipline is the practice of training people. If you try to discipline yourself without the training of why you're being trained or disciplined, it's hard to hold the discipline. So when we're being disciplined, it takes training. That doesn't mean you're going to understand it all, but it takes training. Now, discipline comes out of your subconscious mind. And I've taught you before that the way we change our... You live 90% out of your subconscious mind, 10% out of your conscious mind. In other words, 90% of your life is reactionary. You don't think about it and do it. You do it and then think about it. It's coming out of your subconscious. So to train our subconscious mind is through repetitiveness, and I've taught you that. If you play a piano or if you type, whatever you do, you learn it through your conscious mind, but repetitive thinking is stored as truth. Whether it's true or not, it's still stored as truth. So what a disciple's doing through disciplines is repetitive thinking. So it's stored. And then your reactions are out of that discipline. I put it to you like this. Has anybody ever been motivated? Don't you like motivation? I love it. Has anybody ever been not motivated? Okay. If you got to do something every day, what takes over when you're not motivated? Discipline. I love to run out of motivation, but discipline kicks in when my motivation's not there. Everybody with me? Right, let's move forward. So discipline is the practice of training. So as Christians, we come here, it is important to be trained. If you're not, you're going to run off your idea of God that you conjured up. That's a wonderful place to say amen. Okay? Now, a discipline is the same as a continual daily fasting. I shared that with you already. I'll not reteach it. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, that's not a TV show and it's not a movie, it's just a picture. Can somebody tell me what's going on there? Military training. Somebody's in basic training. If you'll notice there, the guy is shouting at the other guy. And I venture to say the other guy doesn't like it. Now, do you know what happens in basic training? That guy is shouting at that guy. Do you know why he's shouting at him? It is breaking him, but he's leading him into something. If he doesn't shout at him, that's a warning. So he doesn't write him up. If he balks at the warning, he's shouting so he doesn't have to go to phase two. Are you with me? So that guy is trying to save that guy from a worse consequence than he's already in. He's shouting at him, but believe it or not, he's got his best in mind. You ever fussed at your children? Huh? Anybody ever done the 1, 2, 3 thing? Evidently, my daddy didn't know how to count. He didn't count a time. Here's what you got to catch on here. I know we are in a trying to create a pain-free society of life, but the only thing I'm trying to tell you is this. Life will shout at you. Something's shouting at you. Internally, you're here to shout. Then you try to blame somebody else for your shout. The Holy Ghost is shouting at you to keep you from being written up. And then you're going to complain about somebody else because of your internal shoutings you're hearing. I'm just telling you the truth now. First thing we want to do when we hear the internal shout is we want to complain and blame. Not understanding, the Holy Ghost says, trying to say, wake up! Listen to me! He gets in our face. It's uncomfortable. You don't like it. And then you're going to say, it's your fault that this shouting's going inside of me. Does anybody bear witness with my flesh? I'm telling you, the internal voice of the Holy Ghost is shouting at mankind, trying to save you of a future consequence if you don't straighten up. Now, you can trust a disciplined person. I gave you a story last week, those of you that were here, about Richard Wormbrand. You remember the story? That's a good bedtime story, right? That story will arrest you. It'll wake you up. It'll shout at you. But you can trust a disciplined person. So if you're living your Christian life, no disciplines. This is just me, God. This is just the way I am. Had a man tell me that about a month ago. Well, Alan, this is just the way I am. I said, well, it's a good thing for both of us that I'm not being just the way I am. No, we don't want that. Now, a person who's disciplined is a person you can trust. That's why the word discipline, a disciple, comes out of a disciplined person. I'm just trying to tell you, the word discipline wasn't made up just to be hard. The word discipline is what puts you in the right direction on the path. It's for your good. He's trying to save your life. Discipline will save you. When that soldier goes into combat because he's disciplined with bullets flying all over him, his training is he gets shouted at, he stands at attention, he doesn't flinch, he's creating a disciplined person, and as the bullets come at him, he stays disciplined because it's going to save his life and somebody else's. That's why he's disciplined. Can anybody hear my shouting? Now, everyone knows that the number one thing in the military is discipline. I mean, think about it. I think the military is a lot like the church. I've told y'all I'm more of a warrior. Not everybody's a warrior, and I don't recommend it. But that's where I come from. And I know other people come from other places, and I honor it, and we need them all. But we know, in the military, all these people enlist. They don't get to fire him. He doesn't get to fire that guy. He's got to make a soldier out of him. He doesn't have a choice. It's not like working a job. Oh, I'm going to save the best 3 out of 10. That's not what the military is. That's not what the church is. You got to make a soldier out of everybody. You don't get to choose him. Don't get to fire him. Everybody has got to be disciplined and put in the regiment of the army of God. Now, You need to be strong enough to make it the number one thing in life too. Speaking of discipline. If discipline is not the number one thing in a Christian's life, you're going to die deaths and have consequences through life that you shouldn't even be having. Everybody wants to fix everything that's wrong. It's because they have no discipline in their life. Does discipline fix everything? No, but you can live through it. Instead of having 100 problems, you'll have 2. Discipline saves your life. It's for your good. That's what it's for. There's a reason that discipline falls under training. Discipline. Here's the definition again. The practice of training people. A branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. Isn't that something? Higher education. I told you, if you come to this church or if you're in this class, that we're climbing a mountain. If you're coming here to coast, that means you're going downhill. You're listening to the wrong guy. I'm not into going downhill. I'm not into coasting. I'm into you being healthy. Why? I don't want you to get killed, and I don't want you to get me killed. If y'all aren't healthy, you're going to talk about the preacher and the elders and me and everybody else. I don't want shot by you. I want you to be healthy and healed, and let's go fight this battle we were created to fight. Now, this is the intention of discipline. To walk in self-disciplines is to avoid permanent consequence. Can you get that? Now, it's in battle. We come for training. We are in training. We come for training because there's a war going on out there. We don't need to shoot at each other in here. This is training. We are on the same army, same team, right? Most Christians are still in boot camp. Boot camp is to last only 6 months, and most Christians have been in it a lifetime. You do not join the ranks until you have completed basic training and then job training. In other words, we come in here, you get born again, you go through boot camp, you'll get training. We don't expect people to come in here, get born again, then put them... I've seen it happen. Put them into preaching, put them into everything. All of us, hey, yeah, he's got the zeal. Let's go. And they just fall. Why? You don't stick a gun in their hand and send them out there without any training. It's crazy. You don't do that. Not only do you have to be trained to be a disciple, you have to have ongoing training, refresher courses. So as Christians, I remember we used to come into church. Everybody had notebooks, everybody had pens, everybody's writing down there. Everybody's been trained. Now we got iPads, that's fine. But I guess we got better memories than we used to. I don't know. But everybody was really under this idea that's been trained. Been trained for a reason. A true disciple of Christ must suck it up. This is my barnyard talk. Y'all can live through it. You got to suck it up, keep your opinions to yourself, and be trained by the teacher. It will save your life. I hope you can handle that. It'll save your life. That's the reason I'm not a preacher. I'm a farmer. A true disciple of Christ must suck it up, keep your opinions to yourself, and be trained by the teacher. It will save your life. Can you imagine that guy in basic training going up to that fellow hollering in his face, saying, "You need to shut up." Well, let me tell you what I think. How far do you think that'd fly? Listen. You're learning something. It's self-discipline. Now, a true disciple learns to say yes, sir, to Christ. That's what you learn to do in discipline, the disciple of Christ. You learn to go up to Christ. Christ says, "Let's do this." You say, "Yes, sir." Yes, sir, Christ. Yes, sir, Jesus. You learn something in the Bible. You see it. It's not for your opinion. It's not to be debated. You say, "Yes, sir." That's what a disciple of Christ is. That's if you want to be a disciple of Christ, which I call it the special forces of Christ, is the disciples of Christ. If you want to sit around and debate scripture or debate this or whatever, I mean, I've had people ask, well, Alan, what do you believe about this? And then I lose my, I don't know what happens, and I'll give them my opinion, which I shouldn't do. And then it causes a division or somebody didn't like this or what. The only thing I can tell you is what God's asking us to do is say, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. We take orders, sir. We believe, Lord, you have our best interest in mind. And we understand we're in the army of God. And we want to walk that we don't get killed, they don't get killed, and we add to our ranks. Yes, sir, I will follow what you say. For some reason, we've got into our minds in Christianity that we come to Christianity, we read something, we're going to debate it for 5 years. Listen, I've had people... Y'all have heard me say this before, and some people cringe, but I'm going to say it again. I've never spoken in tongues. Never happened to me. But I'm so glad some people do. And if I'm in prayer and I need somebody to... I don't have the gift of healing. I got a friend of mine that does, and I've told y'all that before. I've seen him pray for dead bushes. And that's the truth with my hand up. I've seen him pray for a dead azalea. It didn't come back to life, but he prayed for it anyway. He's got the gift of healing. I don't see myself as a gift of healing. So therefore, if I want that, I go to him. Never had a gift of tongues. And I know the story. Well, Alan, you got to move your mouth. You got to burp it out. Oh, I've done all that. Done it all. I got to be honest. I don't have it. But I'm glad some do. Can you hear what I'm saying? I just want to say yes, sir, to what I got. I want to be true to what I got. If God wants to give me more or take away some, that's God's business. It's yes, sir, all the way. Because this is my mentality of saying yes, sir, to Christ. I don't care if you got this or got that or ain't got this or got more. I don't care. It's yes, sir, to what you say. We're in the army now. This is where we're going with the army of God. Is everybody with me? You know I got a hush. It takes time and training for a disciple to learn how to navigate their lives in this war zone. That's the truth. All I can tell you, love me already. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pick up here next week. And I'm going to, as we stand, I have this idea that as believers... that God wants to take us up on being disciples of His, that walk in power, that walk in authority. I don't want to have a wishful faith. I want to have a powerful faith, one that changes the world, changes life. Not a wishful, not we're wishing for stuff. It's because we're walking in the power of the Spirit of the living God. And so, dear God, I pray that you'll train us, teach us, show us, oh God, how just to say yes, sir, to your kingdom, to your word, to your ways. Lord God, you allow us to be in this army, and we can feel it. You allow us to be in this army of God, and with great honor, let us be loyal, oh God, to you, our leader. Let us be loyal to the purpose of Christ upon this earth. Teach us, O God. Teach us, O God, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.